Hallelujah. All right, James chapter 1, we're going to kick off again from where we stopped. Who really are you? And we address a few things in this session. Who really are you? Like I said earlier, there are different kinds of meetings. And they have different emphasis. You have meetings where, and what we say defines, or what, how we meet, okay, sorry for that. The characteristics of a meeting defines what we say. And in a meeting like this, it's a workers in training convention, which means that we are addressing issues that have to do with those who work, who serve. Now, naturally, all believers should serve. There's no letter written to those who work. It's just a phrase. Now, when we say workers now, it's a phrase for Christians who are growing, right? Because you cannot have growth without service. So when we say worker now, today say, are you a worker? I'm not a worker yet. You know, you have to say, I don't want to be a worker yet. You say, why? I'm not ready for the stress. Yeah, people say that. No, I'm not ready for, a lot of things which, let me just be a floor member. That's why you are still on the floor. Let me just be a floor member. What an irresponsible Christian that is. But any Christian who is responsible is working. He's working. So I said earlier that we have the meetings. And the meetings are for that purpose. So we're speaking to you for that reason. And in a local church, we are addressing things that we believe God's laid on our heart to teach you. But sometimes we have the things also go out in the body of Christ. And you have people listen to the teachings that we have in the meeting like this. But it's fundamentally to you. And you take it, like I said earlier today, as the instructions of God's Spirit directed to you. Directed at you. And that's what they are. So James 1:23. Now, in verse 13 it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. James 1:13. For God cannot be tempted, James says, with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man, according to James, he says, well, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In other words, James is saying you are on your own. Then he says in verse 15, but when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 16, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It says, and cometh down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, 18 is that strong emphasis we had earlier today in the morning. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth that we might be a first, a kind of the first fruit of his own creatures. And then he says in 19, therefore, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. I guess this should be on every billboard in every church. Amen? Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Slow to write. What about that? Come on. Slow to type. I can't hear you. Slow to comment. Slow to post. Slow. Slow to speak. And it says, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, he says here, worketh not the righteousness of God. That needs to be very clear. Then it says in 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, be doers of the word. And in the morning I said the word hearers only, from the Greek, means someone who is just being entertained. And someone who hears the word just for the purpose of information. That's it. That's what he's doing. He's hearing it just for the purpose of information. Nothing more than that. He's not thinking about seeing himself or ourself in the word. And we do have that. They just like what they're hearing. They like what they're teaching. And a couple of people like information without instruction. I told you, what brings growth, spiritual growth, is not information. It's information with instruction. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, profitable for doctrine. That's a key word there. Then it says conviction. All right? That's what reproof. Then it says correction. Then it says instruction in righteousness, which is where you have growth. Partly to train up someone. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Then, you know, if you read it in chapter 4, it now says, you know, I charge you before Jesus Christ and his elect, you shall judge the quick and the dead as soon appearing. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Then it says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine and patience. So which means that if you're going to get the growth, you're going to get the growth not because of just the volume of information that you give, but it has to come with instruction. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says, look, remember that exhortation that gives sense to you as unto children. Hebrews 12:5. And then he goes, Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, he says, despise not the chastening when you're chastened of the Lord, whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth. He rebukes. And that's where growth comes from. So information is good, but information without instruction will lead to no growth. And sometimes some people have what a brother once called information overload. You just want to get a lot of teaching, a lot of doctrine, a lot of doctrine. Doctrine is not on its own without instruction. Doctrine also includes instruction. In fact, the word doctrine means to teach, also means to instruct, to command. And so we said, James therefore says to us, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any be a hearer of the word, 23, and not a doer, is like, because you cannot be a doer without being a hearer. You can't say, I will just do it because I'm born of God. No, you've got to hear it, okay? So you hear it to do it. But you can hear it and not do it, but you can't do it without hearing it. So he says here, he says, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face. Now, why does he use natural face? That's genealogy. He's already told you your genealogy. Of his own will be guiding us with the word of truth, James 1:18, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of every creature. That's your genealogy. Say, God's word is my genealogy. And you hear, God's word is my genealogy. God's spirit is my genealogy. So what we did earlier on, I showed you the importance of birth. That when you find the word being born again, John 3:5 and John 3:3-5 and 1 Peter 1:23, they are taking the examples from the Old Testament text where people are born for a purpose. Now, when people are born for a purpose, like someone like Noah, for example, it means he's born of the Spirit. Because an instruction comes about his birth. It's a child of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was born also, Luke's Gospel 1, the angel said to Mary, he's a child of the Holy Ghost, which means this is a prophesied person. This is coming because of a purpose. Prophesied. A person of prophecy. You have Isaac, he's also a child of the Spirit. Why? Because God spoke about his birth. And there are those that nothing was said at the commencement of their birth or inception, but later on they found the purpose. For example, I mentioned Jacob before that. Anyway, Jacob in Genesis 25:23, Rebekah knew two nations were in her womb. One carried purpose. We had Joseph. Joseph, whose life from a child has been seeing dreams and visions about the future, about God's plan in the earth. He told his brothers, they got offended. He told his parents, the mom looked at him one kind, the father was, what are you talking about? He's a child of the Spirit. You find Moses, Exodus 2:2, and also Hebrews 11:23, I showed that earlier on, who was called a proper child. He's a child of the Spirit. So being born again means that your conception comes with a purpose. Say, I came with a purpose. Say, I came with a purpose. It's not just a tag. It's not just a phrase. It's not just a label on your life. It defines your purpose. That's why Paul says the eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that you may know, Ephesians 1, 17, 18, what is the hope of his calling. I told you earlier on, when Noah was born, he's called Noah because, you know, he's called because. So that calling, kwara, in the Hebrew, just like Genesis 1, 2, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and light was light. And he saw the light, and it was good. He called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Then he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day. He called it. He called it. He called it. So the new birth is your calling. So the new birth is my calling. Say, on the earth today, the new birth is my calling. So when you look into God's word, you see you look at the mirror. I was giving you that distinction on Sunday. I'll continue next Sunday. We'll talk about, what's it again? Changing your clothes. And I said to us that, you know, there's a calling. It comes with a calling. The mirror. I said the mirror, there are two. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about a glass. James 1. 23 talks about a mirror. And James 1:25 talks about the perfect law of liberty. 24 and 25. The perfect law of liberty. So it's like a reflection where you see a face. So you must look at the word of God. And if you come to services, that's why it's a joke. When you come to church and you doze off. When you come to church and you are distracted, it's a joke. It's a joke. You are kidding with your life. Because the word of God, when it is being preached, you are looking at your life. This is your life. This is your life. So we said earlier on, salvation is a naming ceremony. You are named. And many times, just like David, Psalm 51:5, he says, in iniquity I was shapen. In iniquity my mother conceived me. Sometimes your parents don't even know who you are. They don't know who you are. Jesus didn't know who David was. If Isaac himself missed him, who Jacob was. They don't know who you are. They don't know who you are. You get it wrong. At some point, even the brothers of Joseph didn't know who he was. But God does. That is why you have to be led by the Spirit of God. That is why when you come to church to hear God's word, you are hearing the leading of the Spirit of God. You need to know that you are hearing your identity. You know, we're in a world where everybody pushes identity on us. You see, Christians, over the years, they've changed their identity. You know, someone said something to me that might be very true. He said, you know, I was talking about someone and I said, I know this guy very well. He said, how? I said, very well. I said, we grew together. We were in the same primary school. God says, so he laughed. He said, you know how many years that was ago? I said, well, that's true. That's true. He said, you know how many years you're talking about? He said, oftentimes people will change. Now he asked me a question that made me look like I was a comedian. He said, where does he work? I said, the last time, and he said, you know him very well. You don't even know where he works. Where does he live? I said, but when we were in school, he was quite a good guy. Quite a good guy. There was a fellow who was a very good guy. Very good guy. He led the worship, led the, you know, outreaches and all that. And when he got to the university, he organized a beauty pageant. That was the first manifestation of the Spirit upon his life in the university. Beauty pageant. I'm telling you. I thought I knew him, that he was heavenly conscious. No, he was more earthly conscious. So, you know, the world pushes different identity on us. And then you begin to say, you begin to change who you are. But James says you look at the perfect law of liberty. You continue therein. Verse 24 and 25. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So you see your face of birth. You know who you are. Say, I know who I am. Say, what the world says I am. I have what the world says I have. Say, my true identity is in the word of God. Say, my true identity is in the word of God. Say, the identity of the word, it supersedes every form of identity I have in the world. Pray in the spirit about that. Pray in the spirit. That is my identity. Pray in the spirit. That is my identity. That is my identity. My identity is from the word. The doctor doesn't know who I am. The psychologist doesn't know who I am. It's the word of God that defines who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So which means that every encounter with the spirit and the word is either to reiterate who you are or to inform you. Jesus always spoke about who he was. I am the bread of life. I am the light of life. Glory to God. Say glory to God. When you are alone, who do you see yourself as? Who? Who do you see? You know, the very first early years when I came in contact with identity, identification. And I'm grateful to God for a man like E.W. Kenyon and Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, Brother Hagin, the two of them together. And I remember then I'll just get up at night and I'll just smile and I'll just say, you know, I am God's heir. And I'll just be saying that. No one was there. I wasn't preaching to anybody. I am God's heir. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm not saying that to preach. Sometimes you say those things on the pulpit just for show. But when you are on your own, is that what you say? I'm an heir of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, and I needed that a lot because I got born again and we thank God for those who taught us that. They just didn't know more than that. And so we were made to crave for righteousness, crave for holiness, look for eternal life. We believe the Holy Ghost will come and go. So those things were really troubling. And when you hear things like that, because unstable theology, right, gives you an unstable identity. So I was just saying, so, you know, one minute we hear we are born again. I remember one, dear brother, he was in upper six then. We were Christians together, but he was a sinner. So he came and then he dressed differently. You know, he just wore jeans. Not, I think it was it jeans? I don't think so, but maybe white jeans because it was a white dress. Then he wore white, canvas shoes to come and preach. Ah, it was odd. We were in the senior class. So I think it was senior class. He got up and he was preaching. He said, you know what? He said, you have dominion. That's what he said. You have dominion. I kind of like it. I have dominion. But you know, I was just looking about how. So after hearing I have dominion, then the next service, Satan is seeking dominion over you. So you're really confused. So by the time I got to really feed on truth about identification, I had to say it so often. I am who he says I am. There's therefore now no condemnation to me in Christ. In fact, then, if you say, how are you? I said, there's, if you ask me, how are you today? I said, there's therefore no condemnation. That's how I'm going to respond to you. So, I remember one of my cousins, she's passed on now. She got so irritated. She said, when is this holiday over? Because I went to have a holiday and she said, because anything she says, she can say, hey, where are you going to sit? I said, I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. She said, what are you going to eat? I said, I've eaten the bread of life. I live forever. I'm not joking. That was the answer. She said, are you going to walk there? I said, I'm already walking in the spirit. I don't feel the loss of the flesh. Now it looked like I was showing up, but the truth was I was coming into an identity. She said, seeing you, I said, kill a man, she said, why, you know, can't you talk normally? Because she's also Christian. So she said, she said, that's your church. Can I go with you to see whether they are all like you? So later on, you know, there was one time like that. I think it was 94 or so. We went for family engagement. Someone was getting married. You know, and she's my friend now. Love my, so my dad ensured that I attended the wedding. So I'm at the wedding. Everybody's eating. So he came around and he said, are you not eating? I said, I'm fasting. and I had a book or so. I think it was What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. I was reading it. He said, you know, it's a wedding and he's a chairman. Or so. So he's really upset. So I told my cousin said, this is bad. He said, will you eat tomorrow? Because it was the engagement. I said, I'm not coming tomorrow. Yes, I have fellowship tomorrow.
Say, on Saturday, are you Seventh-day Adventist? I said, no. You know, at that point, I wasn't seeing anything. I thought I was talking normally. Because my mind was fixed. How are you today? Sometimes I used to say another one that I don't say anymore. Say, how are you today? I say, I'm perfect. Eh? Yeah. He has perfected forever. You need that. Praise the Lord. You need that. Then back then, if I got you born again, or you were born again, I got you reborn again, anyone. And I sit you down. I say, look, first thing I used to tell my new converts then, you are going to say I am a spirit 1,000 times. That's discipleship. 1,000 times. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live. Yeah. How many times? 1,000 times. I said, dawned on you? Hallelujah. Because you need to see this. You need to identify yourself. You've said it so often times. You know I'm a tech expert. You know I'm a doctor. You say that a lot. You know I'm a Yoruba man. You know I'm a Yoruba man. We Yoruba men, we don't take nonsense. I lie, you. Say, you know I'm a Barca fan. That's terrible. You know I'm a Chelsea fan. That's worse. You know I'm this one. You know I'm a man. You know I'm women. You know, you said that so often. You really need to say the word. Hallelujah. There are people that the only time they say that is when they are preaching. When they are preaching, they say, you know, we are, and they say we are, not even I am. We are God's own. We are sanctified. Hallelujah! And they're so happy. They're so excited. You know, they're so excited. There's a guy like that I was preaching. And the guy began to roll. I think it was alumni center. He said, the guy don't roll on the floor. He's rolling on the floor. He's rolling on the floor. He's rolling on the floor. And he said, yeah, he's excited. He lost what I'm thinking. Vocation Bible School 1998. So he came that evening to speak with me. Or that night. And we're talking. He said, sir, really, I'm a wreck. I'm just a total wreck. He was rolling on the floor earlier. Maybe that was why he was rolling. I'm a wreck. I said, what you just, because I'm taking faith in the blood. I taught them faith in the blood. I'm a wreck. You are not a wreck. Say, I'm not a wreck. Say, I'm not a wreck. You are not a wreck. You are in Christ. Hallelujah. So that it should not be a sermon. No. When you are alone, what do you see? And you're driving in the car. You know, and I have this culture as you do it. If I hear anything from the television sets, or from television programs, and they say something, as soon as I see it start register in my mind, I respond. I say, nope. I'm an heir of God. I got the life of God working in me. I walk in purpose. I don't walk in the confusion of this world. You respond immediately. Don't say, unbeliever, sha. The thing is already in your mind, it's processing. Unbeliever, sha. When you're alone, you just say, where is this world going to? Are you alone? So when you're alone, what do you say? Jesus asked Peter. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, have? They said, you are John the Baptist. Some said you are Elijah. Some said Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? Then Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which in heaven. I say also to you, you are Peter. Hallelujah. You, if you know Christ, then you have to know you. You have to know you. You have to know you. There has to be a change of identity. If you are immersed in the word of God, those who live with you will know you have changed. Those who stay around you know something has happened. You know, one day my dad and I were talking. He said, you know what amazed me the most about you? I could never have imagined you would be a speaker, a preacher. You know, he was the first person. When he said this, I grabbed it. I thought it was wrong. He said, you are an introvert. And I was imagining, how did you come out to now be this, you know, bold? Say, you're an introvert. I knew you were an introvert because I knew I was an introvert. I started thinking about it. That's true.
Because if they ask me to speak in public, then I will run. So come and talk to, just 10 people. I'll say, today? He say, yes. Hi! I'll find a way of running away. You know? But I could write. So whatever I could not say publicly, I wrote publicly. But you know something? When the Holy Ghost came on me and I saw it, it affected just about my entire personality. So there's nothing like, that is my personality when I was a child. No. The Holy Ghost changes your personality. Hallelujah. See, my personality is from the Word. See, it's from the Word. Alright. So therefore, we identify ourselves supernaturally. Supernaturally. So, I'm not talking about writing it somewhere. I'm saying you, identifying you to you. Supernaturally. God gave us His Word so we can know what to say. I'm born of the Spirit. So just like Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, we looked at Samuel too. We saw Jeremiah. They were born, David, with a purpose. And that's what it means to be born by the Spirit. Being born by the Spirit is being born with a purpose. So therefore, what does it mean? I identify myself supernaturally. I identify myself supernaturally. This is who I am. Supernaturally. And it deals a lot with how you think. You know, I remember then in Ikorodu, I grew up there. And so I just saw myself as someone sent there. You know, there's a way you think. I'm sent here. That's how I saw myself. That I was sent here to this place. And I began to pray. And I remember the Archbishop Idahosa mentioned how we used to walk around the city of Benin praying. And that's how we Christians are led by the Spirit of God. So you know what? I began to walk around the town praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues for hours and hours and fast. I was fasting. I had a group of friends who were trying to, so I told them about it. Yeah. So we began to pray and we began to do stuff like that. So one day, we said, we're going to fast one day. And then I just got to everyone's house to just see our fasting mood so that we'll pray in the evening. So I saw one of them with a bar. There was another one, I think it was bread and beans. There was one particular bean seller that was down the road. That beans, I can't forget it. I'm still thinking about it. Because I love that particular beans. And that brother went to get the beans. He knows I like the beans. And he put it on the table. He said, you know, after we prayed yesterday, the Holy Ghost told me not to fast. And I was like, you know, and the whole team, no one joined me. We were about 10 or so. I remember 1, 2, 3, we were 7 or 8. I think it was 7 or 8. And he said, no, the Holy Ghost told them not to fast. All of them, all together. The enemy has done this. All of us, we prayed yesterday. And we were singing the song, God of great courage, source of my strength, source of my strength, grant us this, we will take the land. One brother got up like that, he said, I see. Oh, from tomorrow, the torch is blazing. He's blazing, I'll never forget that one, he's blazing. He was one of those weird beings. The next day, brethren, their mouth will be sweating. Brethren, you know what I did? That didn't change anything. Now we're supposed to fast, I think, 14 days. So I moved mine to 40. I said, well, it doesn't matter what they think. I know who I am. And we had a plan then to evangelize the secondary schools. So I did it on my own. On my own. You know why? Because my identity wasn't tied to that. It's something you feed on by yourself. A friend of yours backsliding should not affect you naturally, because except, you know, if it's too close anyway. So you identify yourself beyond the flesh. John 1:13, not born of the will of the flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is a calling. The new birth is a calling. Being born of the Spirit is a calling. The new creation is a calling. So my purpose in life is attached strongly to God's plan. And God's plan is attached or is revealed in salvation. I told you, when I was a young boy and then I grew up in the church setting, the white garment churches. My grandfather was a leader there. And so we grew up around things, the things of prayer, depending on how you see it anyway. And one day, I was already tired of services starting in the morning, finishing in the afternoon. And then you used to watch Argentina Apollo, Mighty Eagle, Mil Mascaras, Argentina Apollo. It used to be 4 o'clock. West, WWF, I think that's it. And then there's just one person who just prophesy and will stay to church about 5 o'clock. And I'm looking at them, what kind of human beings are these? In my mind, I say, I hate this God that doesn't want me to watch. Because my favorite was Mighty Eagle. I didn't like Mil Mascaras. Why would someone cover his face? You know, you don't even know who I'm talking about. So they had another one that was, there are two kinds of wrestling stuff then, you know, IWF, the something brothers like that. So I was wondering, nonsense, rubbish. But I couldn't say that to my parents. So to make matters worse, just one Sunday, that's how one girl, one lady called up and said, hey, you know, God, they say, the Lord said that they said, the enemy is after my life. And I'm wondering, who? I'm a young boy. He said, heading after my life, and the Lord said he wants to protect me, that I will have to stay in the premises. Ha! 1 week! And that's where God's going to protect me. And he said, I must not even go home at all. Hey, what? And they all believed it. I looked at my mom. She believed. I looked at my dad. He overbelieved. I said, what? I mean, one day like that, me and some brother in church, we passed by that church. I said, that's the church I was talking about. Number 7 Adam Street. Oworojogi. 7 Adam Street. That is the place. I saw it. You know, one day like that, I went to the church and because my dad was there, and so after he passed on, they asked us to donate. So I donated there and I was smiling. The man said, why are you smiling? I didn't tell them. The same place where I was protected. The funny thing about the place was when I was staying, they didn't give me real food. They said I should eat corn and something. And I was going to fast. A small boy fasting. Oh, Jesus. And then I saw, what enemy is after me here? And the door of the church was open. So I'm thinking, this is free pass for demons. So I told myself, inside the altar, I said, my ambition is to join the military. You know, I grew up in the military era, the cool era, where the military either handed over to this one and so I said, and I'm going to join the military and I'm going to ensure that I work very hard. So I rise to the top and then I join some guys and we plan a coup. And when we plan the coup, I will be the leader of the coup planners. So the first thing I'm going to announce is, fellow Nigerians, I therefore ban all the churches. Particularly the one on 7 Adam Street. That was my plan. You know, but salvation, you know, salvation will change your course, will change how you think. It gives you a purpose to live for. In Genesis chapter 2:15, God gave Adam work. You know, we said that he put him in his sacred place, which is the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:9-10, they put man in there. God made Eden, then put man in there, which is like a supernatural sacred place. Then you have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then in verse 15, the scripture says, he put the man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. See the purpose? To dress. Abad. A-B-A-D in Hebrew. Which is the work of priests to take charge of the temple, the work of priests, and to keep it, shama, to watch over it. So that defines a man's life. That's why in Exodus 19:5-6, God said to the nation of Israel, the kingdom of priests, a peculiar treasure in all the earth. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called out of darkness to show forth the marvelous light of God, his praises of him who has called, to show forth the praises of him who has called you, sorry, from darkness into his marvelous light. So the purpose is tied to your birth. What it means, therefore, whatever career Adam chose afterwards, whatever career that Abel chose, whatever career that Noah was engaged in, was secondary. It's secondary. Your career, your marital life, the nation you live at or live in, your wealth does not define your purpose. What defines your purpose is the new birth. That's what defines your purpose. It's a new birth. You don't change it. Now, when this is not clear to you, hear what I'm about to say. When this is not clear to you, serving the Lord will look like a burden. It will look like someone else is disturbing your life. Just disturbing you. You just see the call of your cell leader or the call of your unit leader and you go, she's calling me now. You know why? Because you do not see yourself, right, as fulfilling your purpose. That's why you think someone is stressing you. That's why you think someone is disturbing you. Now, before I became really committed Christian, I grew up in the Youth Foundation ministry, and they trained us to serve the Lord. So we'll go out, and there are times like that I'll stop. So the brethren will come to me, and you know, they'll talk to me, and okay, I'll go. Remember one time like that, as a secondary school boy, I was saved, but my head was somewhere. A senior saw us, said, Anoika, are you not supposed to be born again? I said, I am. It was a Friday. It's not in the school calendar. Fellowship is not in school calendar at all. 1 o'clock, 12:45. Said, are you not a born again? I said, I'm born again. Is that not fellowship? I said, yes. I was still laughing. He said, why are you not there? I said, I thought it was helping my backsliding. I said, you want to waste your life. It's not good to the fellowship. That's how he brought Cain. He said, you see, don't waste your life. If you're a born again, be a born again. Oh, go and carry your Bible. Say, start going to fellowship. He's not going to, start going to fellowship. So the brethren that saw me, they were looking at, they saw, and I'm like, what happened? I couldn't tell them. You know, I was there and I just went through the motions. So later on, you know, and I decided to be committed. And I went for one of the ministers' meetings. As soon as I entered, the brother changed the sermon. So some of you, you'll be coming and you'll be going out. If you want to stay, stay. I'm telling you. I know the brother because we are friends now. He said, if you want to stay, stay. The kingdom of God is not for this. Some of you, I remember this one. Whether you're born against Abiku. And I'm there. I was not discouraged. Because I was at my grand aunt's house, College Crescent. SWA, I think 154 or so. And I knelt down and said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to serve you. There was no one there. For the rest of my life. I said, I commit myself. I'm the only one left in the earth. I'll serve you. So it didn't matter to me. I wasn't going there to be discouraged by them. No. See, I'm human, right? Just like you are. And I can get discouraged. But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't last. Because I'm not looking at you to serve him. Not at all. It doesn't last. As a human being, you know, sometimes we feel let down. We feel, you know, just human. But it doesn't take long. Because I know that I made up my mind. That this is where I'm going. So there was no reason why anyone, you know, say, let's watch. Remember someone told me, he said, these people, he said, leave him. He's just one of my
uncle said, leave him. We've done this thing before. Give him 5 years. When the storms of life hit him, bas, he will have brain. So one day, I'm not sure where you were there. We went to speak at Oshobo. Were you at the meeting? The Oshobo, you were there? Okay, you know what I'm about to say. So I'm ministering, 2001 or so, one or two, and I'm ministering at a church. And I'm preaching and I called the sick. There were a lot and they came out. And there comes my cousin. And he came out. I laid hands on him. He looked at me. I said, Egbo? You know that? He said, Anunu, pastor, pray for me. So I prayed for him. I ministered to him. And so he said, God is very interesting. Say, I entered this thing before you. He was telling me, I said, hey, we thank God, we bless God. So it's a decision you make. You know, it's a decision you make. If you are the only one, would you do what you are doing? Pray for yourself right now. If you are the only one, that this auditorium is emptied, and every one of us here decide to go our own ways, would you stay on the path you are? Pray for yourself. You are the only one. Your identity is so clear to you. Who you are is so vivid to you that whatever is happening in the world does not affect you. It's so vivid to you. So convincing. Come on, pray for yourself. Hallelujah. So instructions are not going to be a burden. Not at all. I now became someone that was going, the same me that couldn't even attend fellowship. I'm now going, traveling to go to church. I'm now, you know what? Something had changed. I now have found purpose. A purpose to live for. A purpose to pursue and be happy. So I'm not struggling. Not at all. I'm not struggling. I'm not trying to, no one is making me do it. No. So you have people have struggles with loyalty. You know why? Because they are not sure of who they are. So they are wondering, if I go and stay with this thing now and something goes wrong. And they say that something goes wrong. Mm-mm. Loyalty becomes a problem. Leading the flock looks like stress. Looks like stress. You think they are bothering you. And you in the morning, you have to think about them. Because if you're a pastor, if you're a true pastor, your flock are always on your mind. They are always on your mind. And you are thinking. When you get money, income, salaries, raise at work, or you make money, you are thinking about them. When you are making your decision, you are thinking about them. You see, it's either you have joy doing it, or you think you are being compelled to do it. There's no middle point. It's that you have joy. You have joy. Now that joy doesn't mean there's no pain with the joy. But you know you are doing the right thing. One day like that I had so many people calling me and we had so many stuff to do. So I just said, I didn't know when I complained. And I said, look, this is disturbing me. How are you guys so... And the Lord said this. He said, would you prefer if nobody's looking for you? May your life never be like that. Pray for yourself. That no one is looking for you. No one wants you to speak to them. No one wants you to pray for them. No one wants you to counsel them. What a miserable life. No one wants you to, not wants to hear the word of the Lord from you. What a miserable life that is. No one is seeking for divine direction through your life. What a miserable life. Come and pray for yourself. May your life not be happy in misery. May you not find joy in misery. May what ought to be sadness not become joy for you. Come on, pray for yourself. Come on. Pray for yourself. Pray. I thought you were praying for yourself.
You are praying for yourself. No one is calling you anymore. You're not taking people for evangelism. No one is asking you Bible questions. No one wants to know the will of God from you. Those who now call you about clothes. They call you about movies. They call you about other things. But you are no longer being called for what matters. What a miserable life. What a miserable life that is. An awkward destiny. Hallelujah. So you, people no longer call you for spiritual things. Say, check around now. Hey, that thing. And they're going to ask you different things. No one is asking you about Jesus. No one. You know, one fellow, and I'm trying to conceal his identity, I'll do my best, had known him for years as a tough Muslim. So I met him again, a tough Muslim. Known him for quite some years. And so, and I remember one time like that, he had even confronted me before and said very terrible things. So he called me. He said, you know, I'm trying to conceal his identity because for a reason. So he called me last year and he said, you know, I've been empty all my life and I really need salvation. He said, you know, we were mates and we saw you. I've seen you over the years. And you know, we probably thought you were going to fall by the wayside like some did, so you never did. So tell me about Jesus. He's not, he's a Muslim. And I'm considering his identity for a purpose. So I will. And he told me the account that he had that made him ask me this question. So I led him to the Lord. And he got saved. Then he said this, which was what got my greatest attention. He said, you know, this phone is on speaker. My whole family is listening to you. And he said, because of the family I come from, that I should please be discreet. That I'm not, I won't be able to come out. And I said, wow. You know, that day I walked away, because I was in my house, and I walked away and I walked to our room and I said, wow. You know, this is really why I'm on earth. For people to find out who they are. He's finding out now. But he's asking me to tell him who he is or who he's supposed to be. What a life we are called to do. What a life we are called to live and do. What a path we are called to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, to the glory of God, and I'm not saying this out of a boast. In a few years, I've seen tens and tens of people. They sent me emails. And they said, as I was about to commit suicide, the Lord led me to listen to you. I've heard it tens of people. If that's the only reason why I'm around, I want to be around for a long time. Hallelujah. Where my words are life. They are life. Where my words, they are life. I walked into a room filled with rebellious Jews. Some of them are black, some of them are not black. And I began to speak. And I began to speak. And one of them said, I've never heard anyone say the gospel as we have done. These are people that are very versed in the Torah. Now, and immediately they didn't exactly make a decision. I walked out, it was an hotel. And I walked out of there and I said, Lord, I'm grateful. What about you? I'm grateful. I can't save anybody. My words are just the words of a man, but he has given me his words. Hallelujah. He has given me his words. He has put words in my mouth. And I walked out. And how many months afterwards? A good number of them are now born again. Born again. Hallelujah. Then I look back and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And we spend those hours praying
and we are fasting. Sometimes we are praying and we are even tired. We want to throw in the towel, but something is happening. In the world, in the nations of the earth, something is happening. When I posted a prophecy earlier yesterday, and someone spoke to me, the person is in Lesotho, and he said, you know, Pastor Chris, just about the time that you gave this prophecy, just about the time was when the Lord was leading me to start the church, and not just me, a group of guys. He said, this prophecy is so direct.
I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I know why I was born. Hallelujah. I know why I was born. I know why I'm around. Hallelujah. See, that's it. Salvation determines. See, salvation is the determinant of who you are. No amount of money can give this kind of joy. Not one. No amount of money can do this. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. I said glory to his name. I said glory to his name. For everyone who has been saved through your words, it's a reminder of who you are. For everyone that has found life in Jesus, it's a reminder of who you are. For every oppressed person who has been broken free, it's a reminder of who you are. You cannot cast that off for anything on that earth. Hallelujah. Knowing who you are. And sometimes you look back at the things you denied yourself, the things you couldn't do anymore, the things you wish you did but you are not doing anymore. But you are glad why you don't anymore. Because you have found purpose for living. Glory to his name. Pray in tongues one more time. Just pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Lord, strengthen me in my calling. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Strengthen me in my calling. Let your words never be common to me. Let your words never look like stress or burden. Let your words be food, life to me. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm not struggling with this. No, I'm not struggling with this. I'm not struggling with this. No, I'm not struggling with this. I'm not struggling with this. This is me. This is who I am. I'm not struggling with this. I'm not trying to do this. No, 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 no. I'm not struggling to do this. This is who I really am. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm not struggling to do this. I'm not struggling to pray and pray for people. I'm not struggling to fast. I'm not struggling to sacrifice. That is who I am. A fish does not struggle to swim. A bird does not struggle to fly. I don't struggle in the spirit. No! I love to do this. I want to do this. I was born for this. A fish does not struggle in water. A bird does not struggle to fly. I don't struggle with spiritual things. No, I don't. I am born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. No, I'm not struggling to do this. No, I don't apply extra effort to do this. I was called to do this. I was born for this. For this purpose was I born. For this cause was I created. I am not struggling to do this. No one is forcing me to do this. No one is compelling me to do this. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're still going to pray. Sit down. Have you noticed that you are having a crazy day? You know, this world is full of crazy days, right? But just about the time you have someone you are ministering to, like something just becomes alive. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Something is just alive. It's just, you are, because you know, a fish does not struggle in water. This is who you are. No, it doesn't. Doesn't. A bird does not struggle to fly. Because this is who you are. That's who you are. The moment a fish struggles in water, it is sick. Which means the leading of the Spirit is your natural habitat. Hallelujah. So when you tell people, let me pray about it, you are not speaking religionese words. That's who you are. And never be ashamed about who you are. You see, don't feel out of place to tell someone, I'll pray about it. Give me some time. You know why? Because that is what is natural to you. So, you are not struggling to do it. The wind blew it where it listed. You hear the sound. You can tell where it's coming from, where it's going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. So I love the things of the Spirit. I love to pray in the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I love to pray in the Spirit. You know, it gets to a point that you cannot know how many hours you pray in the Spirit in a day. Paul says, I thank my God, 1 Corinthians 14:18, I pray in tongues more than you all. Oh, more than you all. What an acclaim. What an acclaim. One theologian said this to me 2 years ago. He said, you know, when I look at that verse, it shuts all our mouths because it's anti-charism. I say, shuts our mouths. So Paul said, I thank my God. I talk in tongues. I speak with tongues. You know, you love to pray in the Spirit. I love to walk in the Spirit. Because I see the flesh, what it wants. The flesh wants lusts. It wants immoral habits. The flesh wants me to be angry. The flesh wants me to be sad. The flesh wants me to be irritable. The flesh wants me to be proud and arrogant. But you know what? Naturally, I walk in humility. Naturally, I walk in self-control. Naturally, I walk in patience. Naturally, I'm faithful. Naturally, I walk in love. Naturally, I'm full of love. So when my pastors tell me, or my friend, or my colleague, or my neighbor who is a Christian, when he says, ah, bro, sis, I don't think they are compelling me to do something strange. When they tell me, brother, I know they are reminding me of who I am. Don't say, I won't say, leave this, no, don't tell me that nonsense. No! Because I'm not struggling to do this. Hallelujah. I'm not struggling to do this. Because this is who I am. This is who I am. When my pastor says, where are your disciples? And he says, you have been a Christian, brother, for 10 years. You don't have 5 disciples. I don't think he's stressing me. He's reminding me. The moment I think it's a stress, I'm beginning to do unnatural things. We love to win souls. We love to have disciples. We love to see people follow us. Hallelujah. Follow us to serve God. I love to see men and women, great and small, young and old, following me to know the Lord. Hallelujah. I love to hear it. Glory to God. So when pastor says, where are the souls? He is not putting a burden on me. He is helping me fulfill who I am. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? May the voice of the Spirit
not look like a voice of a man. Pray for yourself. May the voice of the Spirit not look like the voice of a man. Because God has brought people in your life that are not ordinary men. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. The voice of God. The voice of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Sit down. Watch this. You know, and then the leading of the Spirit becomes natural to you. You are now, you are not struggling with the inward weakness. You are not. Because now, there are many Christians, brothers and sisters, they go on Google to know what to do. To know what to do. They hear God's word in the church, in the services, they get to their office, or to somewhere, and someone says something and they're confused. Why are you confused? No. You are not confused. Hallelujah. He said he will teach you the way to go. Because he has given you his Spirit. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. Hallelujah. I know exactly where I'm going to. Glory to God. I know exactly where I'm going to. You know, I know exactly where I'm going to. I know exactly where I'm going to. Glory to God. Exactly where I'm going to. I know it. You know, years ago, I was a younger preacher. I'll bring my friends to speak at our meetings. We used to have like 4 meetings in a year. We had Rivers of Joy. We had Miracles Extraordinary. And we had Glory of God Seminar. There's one last one. I've forgotten. Okay, that was the Word Seminar. We had that just once because my friend passed on afterwards. So we had 4. Word Seminar, Glory of God Seminar. We had Miracles Extraordinary. Then we had Rivers of Joy. Rivers of Joy is not what we call Believers Convention. Times of Refreshing. And so my friends will come. And then, you know, we had to do a lot to host them, because if I bring you in, even if you're my friend, I honor you as a man of God. So I'm going to get them hotels. Then we had Oribu Hotel. Oribu Hotel was a 5-star hotel in Ikorodu then. So I put them in Oribu Hotel, got them a car. And they will be in the car I got them, and I'll be walking. You know, and I'll be walking. And sometimes I have to find money one way or the other. There was one time that was Miracles Extraordinary, 1997. And the meeting was meant to be 3 days. As we went, and those 3 days, let me shock you. We were believing God for the budget of the last day. We were believing, you know why we say we are believing God? You are in the ministry, right? You are believing. And your faith is out, your hope is out. Your spirit is out. And then as the meeting was going on, the move of God was so strong. I'm not sure about Tokes was in that step. I'm not sure. No, he wasn't. I'm not sure. And then the Holy Ghost said we should stretch it for 4 more days. You hear that prophecy and you are happy? And I say, Holy Ghost, are you ignoring these present circumstances of your brethren? And then that meant we had to go back to Rio Hotel to extend the days. Ha! And that, you know, hotel guy was already telling me, you know, and boys then were a little bit on the arrogant side. The guy said, Pastor, tomorrow, you guys check it. I said, take it easy. I didn't know the Holy Ghost would tell us to not take it easy. So, we are waiting. And then, who gave the utterance? I think it was TJ or Larry that said, and I believe them, they are men of God. Said, we're going to have this thing. And the brethren were saying, woo, glory, the brethren. I am the brother. So I'm like, hey, Holy God. You know, I just called the brothers. I said, normally in every church, you have the key people. So I called them. I said, we have to do something about it. Everybody looked down. I said, look up. Oh. The Holy Ghost said we should continue this meeting. So we went ahead. We found one way or the other. When you say that, the ministry is coded.
in the meeting when God was training us. It had to be done. We're not complaining. And so, along the line, this is where I was going. One fellow spoke. He was one of us, because we asked him, "Oh, brother, what do you think? We need to get some money. We need to." He said, "Ah, didn't we plan 3 days? I know people can be very rude when you're asking for money." "Ah, he doesn't know Bible, boys, because we're asking for money." He said, "Ah, but didn't God know that we don't have?" He said it so. "Ah, see, I don't think that God can stress us like this, oh. Sorry, oh, pastor, it's not as if I'm speaking against you, oh, but I don't think this can be, ah, how can we do 3 more days? I think it's 4 more days. I can't, ah, hey!" You know, and you don't know what's in the mind of the brethren that came with me. I don't know whether they were thinking, ah, we're trying to say it. I said, "Thank you very much." We went on. You know, but I was so happy to do it. I wasn't feeling like, oh, what? No, I was so happy to do it. I remember one of the nights. We were coming from, I think we were going from the hotel or something. We were, was an evening like that. So we were, was, there was no light. As we're Nigeria, right? When I say that, you know what I mean. When I say no light in other countries, no light mean what light? Information? No light, power. So we were, and then we packed one place, we were playing pool. And then we got in there, you know, and as we got in there, they were scared. I don't know why they were scared. I didn't know why they were scared. So I think it was TJ that got down, and Larry himself, we used to call him Bishop, he came down. And then those guys were looking at us. And my friend had something, very unique word of knowledge. He just threw one, bam, check him, it entered. Damn, it entered. The guys calmed down. They were planning to hit someone that night. That night. And they all got born again. We got weapons. We got a voodoo juju from them that night. That was the 6th day. What money could buy that? No. So, you know, when I was in the car, I was thinking, tomorrow's morning, let me talk to Kunle, we'll talk to Tunde and talk to Wale. And, you know, I've been thinking, and then somebody gets up and says, they just parked the car. And it was so funny, Mayor was driving. He just parked, bam! He just goes, hey, hey. You know, my friends were very rancorous. Yeah, and he goes, hey, hey. He gave me word of knowledge. Pew! And that was it. So as I was looking up, I got there. I didn't first join them, so I got there and said, yeah. So the thought of money just left. And I became happy. That showed me, this is what makes me happy. Hallelujah. See, I found purpose. And I found true joy. Pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I found true joy. I found true joy. In my cell, I found true joy. In my fellowship, I found true joy. In my nation, I found true joy. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I know. I'm not frustrated in my country. I'm not frustrated in my city. I'm not frustrated where I am. Because I am fulfilling purpose. Hallelujah. Let's move quickly. So I love to be led by the Spirit. I love to be led by the Spirit. I love to pray. Have you seen life change when you pray? Let me see your hand, come on. Won't you pray more? You pray more. You pray more. You pray. Hallelujah. You pray. You pray more. Because we know. Do you believe that the effectual prayer, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much? Do you believe it? Do you believe it works? Do you believe James 5:16-17? You believe it? You believe in Jeremiah 33:3? Call on me and I'll show you great and mighty that you knew not. You believe it? Then prayer was never going to be a burden for you. Never. Never. You know, before I met Purpose, we would pray. And then as we were praying, I was looking at the wristwatch. And then the prayer leader said, "Brethren, we are still praying." I used to ease inside me. Oh, I see praying. How now? Is everything prayer?
You've not met purpose.
When you meet purpose. You know, years later, I went for this conference at Eyenkorin. I wasn't told, sincerely, that's really the problem, really. I was not told it was going to be a long prayer meeting. They didn't tell me. See, where some of you entered WCC. I was not told. I made up my mind. I thought it was a prayer conference. We would just be teaching the word and praying, teaching the word. That's how we started and we kept praying. I was not looking at the man who invited me. Well, it was my HOD of my prayer. I was looking at him. He was not looking at me. And I felt like, this is not fair. This is not nice. This is not, you should have told me. And I felt like, no, I was already in the prayer meeting. I was arguing with myself. I was a pastor. And I'm thinking, it's not that I hate prayer now. I don't hate prayer. But a prayer that you're not told that you're going to pray. I was really arguing with myself. So I said, if I tell them that I don't like this prayer, it's too long. They'll say I'm not spiritual. So let me go and look for a reason. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. So I said, Father Nash, you know, I said, actually, I forgot to tell you. I have this assignment. And he said, oh, sorry, Brother Shegun. I said, I feel really blessed too. I wish I can stay, but you know, because of what I just said, I have to go. He said, all right. So at least I dealt with the person that will accuse me. So I'm walking. No, this is why it's good to go to use a venue that is very far to the gate. At least if you are truly a Christian. I remember one camp meeting we had last in 1998 at Cream, Cocoa Research Institute. One sister, Kofo, she's pastoring in the UK now. She said, Shegun, you guys really planned this place. Because the distance to the venue, you walk like 2-3 hours. So it was difficult for you to go back. He said, Onoyeka, I'm sure you chose this place. I'm sure you're the one that chose this place. I said, no, we all did it together. So as I was going, you know, it's good to be a true Christian. A true Christian, you will change easily. I was now saying, why am I going? I'm going because I don't want to pray for long. I said, but people are praying now. And they are still there. What if I stayed? It will bless me. It's for me now. I say, yes, for me. I was walking. And I stopped. I say, it's for me. I should pray now. Hey. That if I know it now, I've known it forever. I said, all right. And it's good. You know, at that point, my bag was a bit heavy too. So that helped in obeying God. So I took the bag and I kept walking back. So when Father Nash told me, he said, bro, I'm not going again. I said, I've handled it. I couldn't tell. Till today, I've not told him what happened. You know, and I just stayed. And I'm so glad that I did. You know, sometimes you miss out. You won't know what you missed. Listen to me, church. Put this down. Love to be in church. I know there's one nonsense teaching people are saying that stop with the real church is in the marketplace. Nonsense. Love to be in church. I love to be in church. Hallelujah. To be around God's people. Love it. It's not that they are compelling. The moment you start missing services and you miss one and you are not feeling anyhow, there is a problem. You have started doing things that are unnatural. Unnatural. A whole day has gone. And here you are. You have not prayed. You have not prayed, brother. You have not prayed. You have not prayed. Or you munch, like a friend would say, you just mumble some tongues that need another tongue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise and all that. Adoration. I worship you. There's no like you. And what the world says I am. Woo! Oh, glory, 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 glory. Glorious church, glorious church. You know you have not prayed. A day has gone. And nothing happened. You are walking in what is not natural to you. It's natural for you to wake up and pray.
It's natural for you to pray as you go in the day. See, this is not Pastor Shehu's instruction. This is who you are. This is not Sister Tonya telling you to do something. This is who you are. You know what you will call your pastors? They are helpers of your destiny. They are helpers of your joy. See, that's what they are. That's who they are. Your friends. Your friends. I'm glad that TJ is my friend. I use it in present tense. It's passed on now. About 10 years or so. And I recall, 11 years. I recall one day we were going to his house to go, man. Because he used to cook a lot. As we entered his house, I said, guys, we are praying and fasting. I said, eh? I said, well, he said, now. And he locked the door. He's my friend. I could have said, ah. What's all that? But I knew something. And that's, you see, oh God. There's something I pray. That I should never lose recognition of who you are. Even you that I honor my care by the grace of God. I tell your pastors. I listen to them. You know why I listen to them? Two reasons. I know the hand of God is upon their lives. Two, because I teach them to follow God's spirit, I trust them to do it. So you know what? Even though I teach them, I train them, I correct them, I rebuke them. But you know what? I listen to them. I trust that they pray. I trust they hear from God. I trust that when even when I'm not clear about something, God will use them to tell me. I trust that. I do. So, you know, it's important to see people, your spouse, your spouse. You see, you must never have the spirit of dishonor in the home. You will be a complete fool to be like that. A complete fool to be like that. There are people today who are living near a river of water, but they are thirsty. You know why? Because they refuse to see it as a river of water. What a shame. Pray for yourself. May I not look for what I have. Pray for yourself. May I not look for what I have. What a disaster. A man is looking for what he has because dishonor will make you look for what you have that you have lost. You are looking for it. You are looking for healing. There's a healing gift in your home. You are looking for a man who is speaking by the Spirit and the person is sitting there beside you. Someone the nations, the people are looking for is right beside you. Well, you have lost recognition. Pray for yourself. It's natural for me to honor the gift of God. It's natural for me to honor supernatural relationships. It's natural for me. Hallelujah. My friend locked me up. Shut me in. Myself and two other guys. And that's where we were. We were. One day like I said, guys, let's go. That's 95. We went to UI tennis court and he kept us there. It was in Amakan. And we were all shaking. Myself, Larry, Pinshin, who was the last one? I think Femi was also there. We're like five. And we were just shaking. And he was describing vision. And we're there 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. We were all friends, age mates. But there's something called recognition. 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 It is natural for me to recognize the gift of God. What about you? It's natural for me to honor the gift of God. I made a vow that even if my children are speaking by the Spirit, I'll listen to them. I'm not an idiot. It's a decision you should make. You should make it. You should make it. And make it permanently. So you know. You know, something happens to many of us. We get familiar with time. That's foolishness. Absolute foolishness. Absolute foolishness. There are people I call. I've been calling for years. When we're having some special meetings. I say, let's just talk. In that conversation, I will pick what the Lord wants me to do. And it doesn't change. The way you grow is the way you grow. I've told you, don't change what works. You can't say, eh, I know that the Lord uses Austin to speak to me about this, but I don't like the fact that he's a Barca fan. That's true. You know, and he's never changed. But I don't like the fact that, you know, why, you think that God will say, I agree with you. You don't like it. Me too, I don't like it. It doesn't work like that. And I'll stick to the plan. I'll stick to the plan. I'll stick to the plan. That's why when I discover friendships that are of God, sometimes you know them directly. God says, that's your friend. Sometimes you watch it. And you see the kind of influence the Spirit of God has brought your life. The church you are in. Sometimes you get to a church, someone took you there, and you look back and say, that was God. Sometimes God tells you directly, but you will know at some point that God brought you here. From that point, you are responsible for your commitment. Don't expect a divine visitation over it anymore. It could just be a prophecy. You know, thank God for this. Thank the Lord for this. You will know. And the moment you know it, listen to what I'm about to say. No matter what happens, you stick to where God has placed you. You find Moses. Moses was a fellow in Numbers. He spoke. And God said, you're not taking the people to the promised land anymore. And that was all. And in Numbers 27, Moses goes to God. He says, hey Lord, something you're missing out here. Now, if you read his relationship with the Lord, you should be very cautious. There was something about it in Numbers 12. When Aaron and Miriam, they were saying, what's wrong with it? Why should you do this? They were writing Facebook posts. They were tweeting. And they were saying stuff like that. And God, you know, this one, they didn't approach the Lord. The Lord approached them himself. When there's something, you approach the Lord and he talks to you, he rebukes you. Mm-mm. He came to them himself. Say, hey, hello, who are you? I'm Pastor Aaron. I'm Reverend Aaron. Say, who do you think you are? They're trying to say, Lord, sorry, we are trying to say that, you know, Imad and Enoch, I'm an Ethiopian. We're just trying to say, maybe you know you are far away, so maybe you didn't see it. How's what happened? And so you saw, he said to the Lord, Numbers 27, he said, look, your people cannot be without a pastor. And God said, hey, well, you have a guy now that I've been raising, Joshua. He still chose someone from him. You lay hands on him, and what's on you will come on him. Look at that. Imagine, that's Joshua's life was still tied to that same person. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because I discovered this in ministry. There are many things God knows that you need. He puts it in people so that you be in relationship with them. That is why we have the local church. An assembly is required. A relationship is required. So, it's natural for you to honor supernatural. Let me mention this. Supernatural relationship is not just to your leaders. It's also with those that you lead. Those that you lead. Those that you teach. God will bring people into your life. Look at what Timothy was to Paul. Supernatural. He became a critical person fulfilling God's call upon the life of Paul. Same as Joshua. It's natural for you to honor those relationships. See, I know who I am. It's natural for me to follow God's plan for my life. I'll close here. It's natural for me to walk in the Spirit. My body is the temple of God. It's natural for me that my body is the temple of God. It's natural. Hallelujah. To walk in love is natural for me. Hallelujah. You know, to be punctual in church is natural for me. To honor the services is natural to me. Hallelujah. To study the word is natural to me. To hear the word of God is natural to me. I'm not being forced to do these things. I'm not being compelled to do these things. No, I'm not. When I hear instructions on it, it is to help my joy, to help my purpose for living. So at no point will I get irritated at instructions and begin to feel somehow. You know, there are times like that. You hear an instruction,
You will bow with your head and stand tall in your heart. The moment that is happening for you, to you. And you discover that your heart and your conduct are different. You are being set up for trouble. Immediately, start working on it. Something's going wrong. It's wrong. Something's wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see your heart and your mouth, right? Your heart and what you do, they are at variance. You are praying in the service, but your mind is elsewhere. You wish you were elsewhere. Then you are running into an identity crisis. Your heart is elsewhere. You think you have been forced. You think you have been compelled. That's why people who have more money and then they will lose their zeal. They will get married and lose their zeal. They will have children, lose their zeal. They will go abroad, outside their country, lose their zeal. Hallelujah. You see that? So often. Someone that will go for evangelism easily every day. You now have a car. A car. And that car is why you no longer feel comfortable going to see people, checking up on them, praying with them. So every time your leaders or your friends ask you, how's your Christian life? Please take it easy. Take it easy. I don't want to discuss it now. I'm going through some things. No, you're not going through some things. You're walking away from what is natural to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember I said in the afternoon, I'm going to repeat it again. When you start feeling that you are compelled, you are forced, and then you start to struggle, just like a fish is struggling in water, it's sick. It's sick. Have you seen a sick dog? It's trying to bark. Oh, sick. See the sick lion. It's no longer flowing like before. What is natural to you is now a struggle. Because you now have an identity crisis. You discover that the strength that you apply to spiritual things, you are applying elsewhere. Because God has made a man. You know, you have two eyes. And Jesus said, let your eye be single. Even though you have two eyes, focus is when the two are on one thing at a time. If one eye is looking up, the other down, you are not well. Which means at each point in your life, there's something that is first and foremost. And that is serving the Lord. Tonight, as we close this session, as we round up the first day of this Workers in Training Convention, let these words ring in your heart. You have gone through different group meetings, three of them I believe. Three meetings. You have heard words. You have heard instructions, exhortations. Did you hear a man or you heard the Spirit of God? Did you hear just something you are used to or you heard something fresh from heaven? In these sessions as we close, are you seeing yourself and who you really are? This is who I really am. I am not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I love what I do. I love to stay awake to pray. I love to stay awake to study. I love to stay awake to study. I love to stay awake to wait upon the Lord. I love to take some time off food and natural things and wait upon the Lord. I love to be in the services. I love to be in the first and second services. I love to be in the midweek services. I love to be in the prayer meetings. I love to be in the workers' meetings. I love to serve the Lord. I love to be called upon to represent Him. I love to give. I love to give my time. I love to give my effort. I love to give my resources. I love to do what I am doing. They are natural to me. I love to be led by the Spirit of God. I love to be led by the Spirit of God. I love to give supernatural utterances. I love to see visions and revelations. I love to hear from God. I love it because they are natural to me. I know who I am. I am not lost in this world. I'm not lost in the affairs of this world. I know who I am. My career does not define me. My talents and natural abilities, they don't define me. Where I live does not define me. Where I walk doesn't define me. My marital status does not define me. My country does not define me. My tribe doesn't define me. The Spirit of God gives my life a meaning, gives my life a direction. Raise your hands and pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost that these words walk in your hearts today. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 I hear God. I hear His Spirit. I yield to His Spirit. In every service, I yield to the Spirit. I don't yield to the flesh. It's natural for me to yield to the Spirit. It's natural for me to do the right things. I serve God naturally. I serve the church. I want more. More. I want more. More revelation in God's word. More instructions by the Spirit. More souls. More the grace of God. More lives. I want to pastor more people. I want to disciple more people. I want to pray more. I want to love more people. I want to serve more people. Lift your hands and cry to God for it. I want more, Lord. I want more. I want more. I want more.